Coming straight from the underground. Yeah. Thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I am your host, Joseph Ward. And as always, ride with me is my homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. Remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX, Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX, Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. And as always, you know, log on to our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, to learn more about myself, Patrick, all of our other hosts of our other shows. And, you know, stay tuned because everything is dropping on you. And we got a new show coming onto the network called Block and Nickel. And it's a show about economics. And we got my brother Donnell Durden that's going to be hosting that show. And it's going to be dropping every Tuesday. So stay tuned with us so we can give you the exact date that the first show is going to start. So our tweaked weekly lineup real quick is every Monday, you know, you're going to get the Fix Sports Podcast hosted by myself. Every Tuesday now, you're going to get Block and Nickel by Donnell Durden. Every Wednesday, you're going to get this show, the Freedom Train Podcast Series, as well as the live showing of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tobert. Every Thursday, you're going to get Lessons from the Screen with my man Patrick Irvin. Every Friday, you're going to get the podcast of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tobert. Every Saturday, you're going to get Tea Time Black Women Talk, as well as every Saturday, you're going to get the On the Shoulders of Giants podcast. And remember, all of our podcasts are available on our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, as well as iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And remember, social media, Twitter, at Freedom Train Net, Instagram, at Freedom Train Network. We're on Facebook, Freedom Train Network, YouTube, Freedom Train Network, and, you know, if you want to be cool, you need to follow the Freedom Train. Ain't that right, Pat?
Word, 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 word.
So you sound like a robot.
It's Freaky Friday. Oh, wait. Hey, no, man.
Hey, man. I just want to go on record to say, fuck that song. And Lil Dicky, too. And Lil Dicky need his ass whooped because he one of the white people who want to call black people niggas. So if you want to call me a nigga for sport, fuck you. And now he need his ass whooped. My auntie will kick his ass.
Joe, you're not that N-word, 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 N-word. You're not that N-word? Is how do white people say it when they're around black people?
Right. That's how they sing the song.
When they're around black people. We got the video of what they do when they not around black people.
Yeah.
They be all into it. Because I'm that nigga, 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 nigga. I'm that nigga.
Wow. And Chris Brown, you need your ass for agreeing to do that. Because apparently Lil Dicky wrote that. And Chris Brown saw that and was like, yeah, let's do this, Lil Dicky. First of all, I'm a grown-ass man. I ain't calling you Lil Dicky, first of all. What's your real name, boy? Because I'm calling you by your real name because I'm a grown-ass man. I refuse to call your little goof-ass Lil Dicky. Second of all, if you bring this to me again, to my all these niggas, not only I'm going to go, because I'm going to kick your ass this time, but next time, ooh, I ain't going to pay
you. Now, what I wonder is, because Lil Dicky wrote the song, right? He did write the song. Right. And he actually demoed the song for Chris Brown. Now, he said he got somebody else to do the Chris Brown parts before he presented it to Chris Brown. I'm wondering, was that dude black or white? And did he say that part, too?
I don't give a damn who demoed what.
I'm just saying, because that's another person who need their ass whooped.
No. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, you extending the ass whooping list. Well, I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, but God damn it, yeah, everybody who involved in that need their ass whooped. And all the DJs, like if I was a DJ playing that song, and if it's on the track list, I'm going to say something before I play that song. And people just going to be mad at me because I'm going to say something. Because at some point, sometimes black people across the country got to take a stand and be like, hey, man, this ain't cool. I don't care if Chris Brown's singing it. Everybody know Lil Dicky wrote it. Everybody know Lil Dicky just like Michael, the Gary Owens. Y'all want to call black people niggas. Y'all think it's a game. Y'all think it's fun. It's funny and stuff. Like, nah, man, you can't just go around calling me no niggas. And I don't care what these little young black dudes talking about, that they don't care about nobody calling them niggas. Yes, they do. Let the right white boy call them a nigga and see them fight. So I don't want to hear that.
That'd be my thing. Like, you can't say it's no big deal, it's no big deal. And then when somebody call you one out of anger or some shit, you ready to fight. All right, that means it's a big fucking deal.
Right. Right, so you mean to tell me when these redneck hit Trump supporters call you a nigga, you just go take it? Nah, man, come on.
And the crazy part is, the scenario you just posted, they can't even be like, long as he said, like, without aggression, if one of them big-ass hillbilly white boys in overalls with no undershirt came up to you with a cheek full of dip and was like, boy, you my nigga.
You're going to be mad.
You still be ready.
You better be mad. But I also, like, I was looking at a video of this dad and his son having a conversation about using the word nigga. And I'm just sitting there looking at the dad because him and his son are going back and forth on opposite sides. I'm looking at him like, bro, it's your fault. Because from day one, you should have taught him why that word, why it's not cool for him to allow other people call him that word. Because all y'all people, listen, that I'm going to say it like one country aunties or uncles. Listen at me good. I want y'all to listen at me real good. Listen at me. Black people call ourselves nigga because of hundreds of years of social conditioning. Let me say that again. At least 400 years of social conditioning is the reason black people call ourselves nigga, because we were conditioned to use that word for ourselves. Black people were converted into niggerdom for a specific reason, and I've said it before, they were converted to niggerdom to help advance and be a proponent for the system of white supremacy. So that's why black people do it. So all the white people that want to do it, they're trying to be cool. So now, being cool can get your ass whooped. That's all I'm saying.
And I will also say that I agree, and that's why I think it's a lot of parents need their ass whooped. If you grow up and your kid is like, I don't care if a white person calls me a nigga,
you failed
somewhere along the line.
Yeah, you should have been talking to your child about race. Like, man, I was in the barbershop the other day, and I was breaking it down to these cats what race really is. Like the concept of race in itself is racism. The idea of race is competition for land, resources, and survival between the different groups of people who have similar phenotypes. And it just so happened the European group, the group who's labeled European or white, they kicking everybody's ass. Race is not biological, but it's real. And we in a race war, and we losing because we don't even know we in a goddamn war or competition. This shit ain't fun and games, man. The concept of race wasn't created for no damn playground stuff, man. It was created to justify slavery and racism and the land grab. That's why it was created. Y'all need to get y'all head out y'all ass, some of y'all, man. But anywho, I had to rant. My bad, Pat. So today, our real topics, though. All right, so our real topics today is, one, we want to talk about the Fukushima oil spill and how it's been affecting the Earth's water. And we're also going to go into what nuclear waste is. We want to talk about the Bill Cosby case, which is going to cause us to talk about the Russell Simmons case, so we're going to cover those two, as well as we're going to talk about all these black people who are getting arrested, so the cops called on them when they're spending their money at white establishments, and we're going to kind of give our thoughts on that and solutions to what we could do to help us not get the cops called on us. So we're going to start with the Fukushima oil spill. So, Pat, before we get into, let's give a little back history on that. So as you and I were talking earlier, you know, what is 2011 when the actual Fukushima oil spill happened, right?
Right.
Okay. So basically a what is the nuclear power plant? What is the Fukushima Daiichi power plant? It exploded. So let me read this for you all real quick. 5 years ago this month, a devastating tsunami engulfed Japan's northeastern coast, triggering the world's worst nuclear disaster since Chernobyl. Washing over a 10-meter high seawall, the waves knocked out electricity at Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, causing cooling systems to fail and half the facility's uranium cores to overheat and melt through their steel containers. Hydrogen explosions in the next few days damaged three of the reactor buildings, venting radioactive materials into the air. The plume of airborne contamination forced some 160,000 people to evacuate from their homes. Today, the disaster site remains in crisis mode. Former residents will not likely return anytime soon because of the levels of radioactivity near their abodes remain high. Even more troublesome, the plant has yet to stop producing dangerous nuclear waste. Its operator, the Tokyo Electric Power Company, currently circulates water throughout the three melted units to keep them cool, generating a relentless supply of radioactive water. To make matters worse, the groundwater flowing from a hill behind the crippled plant now mingles with radioactive materials before heading into the sea. So I'm going to read this part to you. From the Tokyo Electric Power Company collects the contaminated water and stores it all in a massive tank at the rate of 400 metric tons a day. Lately, the water has been processed to reduce the concentration of radionuclides, but it still retains high concentrations of tritium, whatever that is, a radioactive isotope of hydrogen. Disputes over this final resting place remain unresolved. The same goes for the millions of bags of contaminated topsoil and other solid waste from the disaster, as well as uranium fuel itself. Health reports, too, are worrisome. Scientists have seen an increase in thyroid cancers among the children who have lived in Fukushima at the time, although it is too early to tell if those cases can be attributed to the accident. So, and also, basically, the nuclear waste got into the Pacific Ocean, and over the years, the nuclear waste is now starting to reach the coast of California and the Pacific coast of the United States and the Americas, which is an issue. It's been an issue, but now it's a direct issue to the United States. So we kind of want to bring attention to that, kind of talk about that for a minute. You know what I'm saying? Pat Irvin, are you with me?
I'm here. You know, I apologize to everybody. It's a little rocky, but I'm here. No,
you
but it's something we need to take advantage of. What's up?
You're supposed to give a Kurt Franklin response. You're supposed to say, oh, yeah. I said, are you with me? You're supposed to say, oh, yeah. No, but you, no, man, it's all good. Kurt Franklin
would be. Yeah, you kind of lost me on that one. I'm sorry. I wasn't in Kurt Franklin mode right then.
Stomp. It's all good. So, but go ahead.
No. I mean, but it is something that, and we were talking about this before the show, how people don't seem to care too much about climate. They don't seem to care too much about. And a lot of that is because, you know, we are largely informed by what's in the news cycle. And of late, you know, environmental disasters just have not been in the news cycle. But this issue with nuclear waste, like I was telling you before the show, I wanted to explain what nuclear waste was, because it's one of those terms that we hear. And when I ask a lot of people, well, what's nuclear waste, they don't, you know, they don't really have an answer. I know why it's bad for you. So, very, very generally, nuclear waste is basically when nuclear fuel rods are put through a nuclear reactor. They go through a process called fission, where the atoms explode and they harness that energy from the explosion. Now they explode into smaller pieces. Those smaller pieces become nuclear waste because they're unstable. And they themselves will explode again at any point between when they're created and 100 or 1,000 years from then. And so what's happening when you have nuclear waste, nuclear byproduct in the water, in the air, in the food, in the whatever, you basically have microscopic time bombs that are floating around on an atomic level, at a molecular level. And when they explode near another molecule, they cause that molecule to explode as well. So that's why when you have things going on around nuclear waste, you have ecosystems destroyed by nuclear waste, what you're essentially seeing are atomic explosions that are destroying the atoms around them. So you don't want to eat that stuff because you don't want those explosions going off in your body. You don't want to drink that stuff. You don't want to breathe that stuff. You don't want to live in that stuff. You don't want to eat anything that has eaten that stuff. So I just wanted to bring that up to let people know this is why this is dangerous, because it's basically like eating a time bomb.
Well, also people should be looking at, as the article noted, Chernobyl, what happened. Because I don't think a lot of people even know what happened with Chernobyl. Even though references have been made, I know Andre 3000 made a reference in one of the songs. I think it was either ATLNs or Equimina. He made a reference to Chernobyl and what happened. But also in the Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, when the lady had the penis for a nose because she was from Chernobyl. And then looking at Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the results and things of that. So we do have historical, to back up what you were saying about how they are is dangerous to people. We do have historical record to show the effects of nuclear waste or even nuclear bombs or nuclear byproducts and what it does to the human body and how it's not favorable to the human body. So us taking this serious is the reason why we're talking about this, is because this is not something that needs to be taken lightly, as if, okay, well, it's nuclear waste, it's all good, I live in Florida. Like, we're on the East Coast, I'm in Florida, here in Carolina, but still, like we was talking about earlier, if you like the Alaskan sockeye, matter of fact, you shouldn't be eating Alaskan sockeye right now because they've contaminated with a whole bunch of tapeworms and everything, but that's a whole other subject for another day. But it affects, if it's in the water, it affects a lot because water is the source of life for a lot of things. And we can't just be like, well, it ain't affecting me. Like, if the ecosystem in the ocean is threw off, that's going to mess up us as well. We need to understand how everything is connected.
Yeah, we won't survive. If the water is destroyed, the ecosystems in the oceans are destroyed, the ecosystems of the land are destroyed as well. Like, and that's something we really need to understand. Because in a lot of regards, the water, the ocean life can survive without land life in a lot of regards. There will be some impact, but life could still go on some level in the ocean. If the oceans become barren, become desert, become totally lifeless, land life will cease to exist, period.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need to understand that. We need, like you said, we need to understand how everything is connected. And, you know, this actually bleeds over a little bit into politics because a lot of people say, well, what can we do? Funding for scientific research, funding for discoveries and breakthroughs for things that can clean up the waste, that can stabilize unstable atomic molecules, that can do all of these other things. That type of scientific funding has dropped off considerably under the new administration that we have. And I'm not just talking about Trump. I'm talking about federal Congress as well. So, you know, what we can do is get politicians in place that support real science, that will fund the types of things that we need funded. And that's where, you know, you making sure that you're well informed about your political candidates and what they support comes
into play. Yeah, that's important. That's important. Stop just voting people because of political party affiliation or they say it something you like, or just because they black. Man, look at here.
100% right, man. We've got to start taking the political system more seriously. You start looking at the EPA, the FDA, and a whole bunch of other organizations, which regardless of how you feel about them, they do run tests and they do run studies that allow us to have more insight into the world around us. And I know a lot of people that disagree with the FDA, but they still benefit from the research and the studies that the FDA publishes. And it's the same with the EPA.
The regular people the average person who claim they're, who I guess expresses their disdain with the FDA, the average person don't do the research. So even their disdain is based off of a lot of hearsay a lot of times. And
that's
I'm not
going
to say every single person doesn't actually do research, but let's just be real, the average person don't have the resources to do the type of research that the FDA does. They get funded to research.
That's true, and that's actually a damn good point. That's a great point. And until we have our own black entity that we can trust that's funded to a sufficient level to do comparable research, we gotta take the research we got and be thorough with our understanding of it. We can question the methodology. We can question the goals. We can question all of that. But at the end of the day, if there's nothing else, then there's nothing else. So we kind of got to go with what we got. But we do need to understand that right now we have a government that's administrated on the highest levels. And, again, I'm not just talking about Trump. I'm talking about Congress. I'm talking about the legislative branch right now. These guys, largely at the behest of the executive branch, but these guys don't support scientific funding, so scientific funding is being slashed right along with educational funding. All of the stuff that will make people smart enough to fix our ecosystem is being slashed right now. So if you're looking for something that you can do right now, because I know a lot of people are going to hear us talking about nuclear waste, and they're going to be like, well, I can't do shit about that, you can get involved politically.
Yeah. I mean, we're also talking about long-term effects too, people. Like, how does this affect your kids and your grandkids? Like Flint, like what's going on in Flint? That's environmental stuff. That's what's going on in Flint. But guess what? Like, we did a show on this. There are cities around this country who have lead levels in their water that are 10 times higher than Flint that we ain't even talking about. So in the overall picture, what we're saying of how it affects our community is, for one, to our detriment, we don't pay attention to the environmental injustices that are happening to us. But you have a small minority of people who actually really give a shit about the environment. Shout out to Wangari Maathai, RIP Wangari Maathai. But I had to do that because she was a great environmentalist. But there's a lot of people who don't care about the environment, and that's not the African way. African people have always cared about the environment because we've always lived in harmony with the environment. And since we've adopted these European characteristics and these traits and these social and cultural norms, we too treat the environment the same way as the white man do, as a tool. Like, the white man tried to destroy everything they come across, white supremacists to be more specific. So this nuclear waste is very, very, very important, just as important as the oil spill was in the Gulf of Mexico. Like, I'm here in Tallahassee. The Gulf is 45 minutes away from here. So it's very, very, very important because it's how we it affects how we eat, the food that we eat, the food we consume. We're in these states where seafood is consumed at a high rate. Why? Because the water right there. But if you've been paying attention, and I encourage everyone to go do their own research and kind of go back and see the effects of the Fukushima oil spill, but it's been affecting marine life for a while. Like, animals have mutations. There's certain things in this ocean. Now, some of these things may have been there, and of course the ocean has not been explored here. All of the earth hasn't been explored, but there's a lot of stuff that you can look at and tell that it's kind of been mutated. And then if you look at the path of the oil spill, it's in that path. So we really have to take that into real consideration and not just be like, oh man, well, it's just nuclear waste and it's over in California. All right, well, if you move to California, if you go to L.A., I mean, all these things, it's a lot that goes into this that happens. And like I stated before, if the ecosystem of the ocean is thrown off, we're thrown off. Hell, if the bees disappear, we're thrown off. If the ants disappear, we're thrown off. Like, everything, a lot of these things here for a reason, man.
And that's what we got to understand, and that's where you get back into researching what how things do affect your body and how everything is connected. Because not too long ago they were having this talk about mercury in the fish, and you know, most people know that, you know, mercury is poisonous to the human body, especially in large quantities. But then you start talking about the lead in the water. You know, lead actually affects cognitive development, meaning that it, over time, to put it bluntly, over time it makes you stupid. Over time, yeah. Generation after generation of consuming lead, high levels of lead, the generations will get stupider. They'll get dumber. They will lose the ability to process information in the same way that they once could. And these are the types of subtle changes that we're talking about. If we're talking about being serious about saving our community, we have to talk about being serious about maintaining our genetics and maintaining the next generation. And that starts with you taking care of you, you know, and that goes into a whole conversation again about epigenetics and all that, because everything is connected. But at the end of the day, if we're not doing enough research to understand the long-term multi-generational effects of these chemicals and things, because I've seen a lot of people, and I'm going to say this and then I'm going to shut up. It's extremely important, but I do need people to understand, just because something says natural, and I know it's a tangent, but just because something says natural don't mean it is. Just because something says African don't mean that it is, and if it is, that don't mean that it's good for you. I've seen a lot of people coming up with their own homemade chemical concoctions for various things. And then you ask them what they put into it, and you find out that they're putting in things that are just as bad for you as the stuff you buy out of the store, maybe even worse. Because I did find the case of one woman who had made her own skin cleansing cream and was actually using Clorox bleach in the formula. But wow. In any case, we just need to be more... We need to do more research and think a little bit deeper about all of this stuff and how it's connected. I'm going to just shut up with that.
Nah, that's straight up, though. I mean, we do need to do more research. And like you said, we're bringing up this topic, for one, because we want to bring more awareness to what's happening with the Fukushima oil spill, but also start to get the black people who are not more aware about the environmental injustices to be more aware of what's going on with the environment, because... Like, Mother Earth is a living entity, and I guarantee you she would get rid of us before she allows us to destroy her. I guarantee you that. And I just want Mother Earth to know I'm on her side. There it is. So the next thing we want to talk about is these cases with Bill Cosby and, of course, Russell Simmons as well. But if you don't know, Bill Cosby basically got... He was sentenced to 30 years in prison because he was found guilty of drugging and raping this young lady. So let me read you this headline. So Bill Cosby's accusers cheered outside the Norristown, Pennsylvania courtyard on Thursday when they learned he had been convicted on three counts of aggravated and indecent assault and could face as much as 30 years in prison, but the amount of jail time he would actually see is an outstanding question. The maximum sentence for each of the three counts is 10 years or 30 years in total, meaning the 80-year-old Cosby, who was legally blind and in poor health, could spend the end of his life in prison. He is currently out on bail and confined in his home while awaiting sentencing, but the legal experts say the maximum sentences are not typically what a defendant will get in Pennsylvania. The maximums are very deceptive about what the real sentence is going to be, said Michelle DeCindio, a criminal defense attorney who practices in Montgomery County where Cosby was convicted. DeCindio said that while there are maximums in the state that could be imposed, Pennsylvania sentencing guidelines are going to weigh heavily in balance. In 1982, Pennsylvania Commission on Sentencing created benchmarks to promote equity and fairness. Equity and fairness in sentencing. The sentencing guidelines for aggravated indecent assault call for 22 to 36 months for each account, rather than a 10-year maximum. Judges have discretion to consider a variety of factors in determining a sentence, including a defendant's criminal history, the effect of criminal behavior on public safety, and the possibility of mitigating and aggravating factors in the case. Based on those factors, judges decide the length of the sentence on each count, as well as whether those sentences are served consecutively or concurrently. Now, one thing about this case that gets me, one thing I ain't gonna lie, you know, I've not been saying this, one thing we did find out about this is that Bill Cosby ain't no damn saint. He a freak. We did find that out. But as far as the evidence that's been gathered for this decision to be made, because this is the appeal, because when he was found not guilty first, it was appeal, so this was the decision in the appeal. So now that they're saying it went down from like 40-something women to him being found guilty to raping one woman, drugging and raping one woman. So the other women, because this case has a lot of fucked up stuff. Now I'm not above any rapists being sentenced for raping. Y'all know the stance that we take on this show. But we also like to think about stuff before we just go to final decisions. And that's what we're here trying to do, is wrap our minds around this whole Cosby situation. Because if Cosby is truly, truly, truly guilty of raping any amount of women from 1 to 100, he need to be found guilty and all that stuff there. But I think one of the things that the black community has a problem with is the justice system and all of these things are going out of this way to indict and bring down Cosby, but white people keep getting away with stuff. And one of the things that they were juxtaposing this case to was the white lady who lied on Emmett Till. It's like, okay, so can she go back and be convicted of a crime and sentenced to jail time and all these things here? So like, what's your thoughts on this, Pat?
I don't like the way, and to me, if he is a criminal, and if he did do it, and there's a lot to say suggests that he did,
mm-hmm.
he does deserve to be sentenced. He does deserve to be guilty, right. And he does deserve everything he gets. My beef is how this all came about.
Yeah.
How they got him. And that's a beef for me, because it opens the door. You got to remember, with every conviction, it opens the door for more people to follow through that manuscript, that road, that path. And Bill Cosby was not convicted based on evidence of any real sort other than hearsay and memories that were largely uncorroborated years and years and years ago.
But see, that was my main question, though. What real evidence was he convicted on?
Well, and see, this is the thing, right? Bill Cosby, because of the first trial, because this is the retrial, and here's the thing, her case has always been one of, if not the weakest case of all of the women brought forward, for a variety of reasons. One, she maintained contact. She bought him gifts. She made him a sweater. She, you know, all of these things that happened after the assault.
Right.
Just made it look totally like y'all was in a relationship. And therefore, a lot of us, and this is me speaking as a black man, and we I'm sure these stories have come out a lot ever since the first Bill Cosby situation. But a lot of times, I've had a lot of friends who have had situations with white girls that didn't work out. And then the white girl tried to get the black dude cased up. That's one of the reasons why I'm nervous. I get nervous around white women in particular. And you can take that however you want. But it is what it is.
Man, I've been saying that the whole while. Well, everybody know how we feel about white women. So if you got a problem with that, you obviously haven't been listening to this long. So
that's kind of been my thing, is that I don't know that I like the way it went, because like the fear now is that that they could get. They could get one of us
anytime they want.
Some other situation or some trumped up bullshit. Then they used his deposition. He had a secret deposition that they told him anything he said in the deposition would not be used in his criminal trial. And then they turned around and used his deposition against him. And you could also turn, so that's another issue. And then you could just see, like, this second trial was not innocent until proven guilty. This shit was guilty until proven innocent. All of those things bother me. Now, I know a lot of people are going to be like, justice is justice, and it don't matter how we get it, long as we get it. That's bullshit. It most certainly, definitely does matter how you get it, because the process that you go through to achieve justice affects what justice actually is and who gets it and who doesn't.
Yeah.
So that's what concerned me. It don't have shit to do with Bill Cosby. He could be the biggest scumbag on the planet. And if they had gotten him this way, I would still be like, I don't like the way they got him. I don't. This was a he say, she say trial from the beginning. And we all know that memories are oftentimes wrong. And they get worse over years.
And that was one of the things that I was looking at is, because if it's still only about he say, she say, then how do you really convict somebody over some he say, she say shit? You know, like she's saying, oh, well, he drugged me this time and that time and all this. But how can they verify that that happened? And I mean,
and look,
it's I don't know, it's not sitting right with me. It's not sitting right with me.
And look, we understand, and I do want to say this, we understand completely that sets the burden of proof extremely high for a woman that's going to claim that she's been raped or molested or whatever after the fact. It does. And I understand for a lot of women that's unfair. It is. But, well, I won't even say it's unfair, because it is fair. Everybody has that same level of burden of proof that they have to achieve. Unfair would be like if men had this lower level and women had this higher level. Everybody has the same high level of proof, and it should be high, because you're potentially ruining somebody's life, taking away their freedom. It should be a high standard, high burden of proof. What we need to be doing is getting women to feel more comfortable going to get rape kits done immediately after they happen, talking to people immediately after it happens. We need to be having these sort of conversations to make women feel empowered to come forward right away. I don't know that you do this by convicting people based off he say of crimes, he say, she say, of crimes committed 10, 20, 30 years ago without any real evidence.
Yeah.
And I mean, that might sound fucked up, but that's kind of where I'm at with it.
But no, that's real though. Like, because why? What is it about this specific case that can get him convicted, but at the same time, we have total evidence on other people who've done stuff like last year and they get off scot-free? Like, because like you said earlier, if we're looking for justice, we got to be looking for justice across the board, not just for justice in the case of violence against women. And I think that's where a lot of people get lost. And you've heard me say this before across the board. You're never going to stop sexual assault, violence, rape, domestic violence, all these things if you're only concentrating on violence against women. Because, yes, violence against women is one of the ugliest outcomes of Americans existing in an unhealthy environment, because hurt people hurt people. And the cycles are out there. And to me, you can't continue making generations of men with issues and then just saying, hey, don't hit women up. Hey, don't rape women. I only concentrate on that. Well, who's concentrating on these men who are being fucked up? That's one of the biggest issues that's happening. That's what's a lot of this leading to this stuff is you got men and women who are fucked up because they was fucked up by fucked up people. But nobody wants to talk about that. And in this case with Cosby, it's like we both said, if he truly, truly, truly did something wrong, fuck him. Fuck him. He got to go. But if the only evidence we got is he say, she say, then we can't just throw him under the bus. We can't just throw him away like that. Even though we might be mad at a lot of things that Cosby said or did, but we can't throw him away like that because the media and the society and the Me Too movement wants to. Because how do we know we're not offering up a black man to sacrifice again just because of something another white lady said?
Right. And justice has to be independent of our feelings and our emotions. It has to be. Because your emotions, you know, a lot of people like to think their emotions ain't going to never steer them wrong. Most of the time, your emotions are going to steer you wrong. Most of the time, your emotions are off base. For anybody that's had anything traumatic happen to them, usually the first person that brings them any half-decent piece of evidence that somebody did it, you're convinced that that person did it, and now you're mad at them. Your emotions ain't checking you and saying, well, wait, maybe they didn't do it. No, you're just like, he did it. Immediate gratification. It works in this case, too. So, you know, like I said, I understand. It's going to be a lot of women that's going to listen to this and be like, yo, they're talking crazy, this, that, or the third. Look, as a society.
That's because they're in their emotions. They are in their emotions. If they listen to what we're saying and you have a problem with it, they're not even listening to us.
That's true. I'm not going to say that. Or I agree with what you're saying. I do think that there's a level where they might be listening, but they might not be understanding, which also goes into not listening. But I do think that, like, I agree with them being in their emotions. I do. And we got to kind of get away from that with this Bill Cosby thing and just look, as a society, we can do whatever we want to him. But when you start talking about the legality, the legal element, the justice element, that standard burden of proof has to be set high and it has to be maintained high. And we all know eyewitnesses can be wrong. We all know corroborating stories, groupthink is real. Those things can be wrong. We all know that there are a lot of people getting out of jail on a monthly basis based off a faulty memory that put them there and real evidence that came back later and exonerated them. So I'm not saying Bill Cosby should be given a pass, but what I am saying is if all that was needed to convict Bill Cosby was one woman saying something with four or five other women backing her up, and all of the cases were over 10 years ago and there's no other corroborating evidence, no other real evidence, yeah. That's not, in my opinion, enough to put somebody in jail for 30 or 40 years, especially knowing that memories and all of these other things are wrong. We, like Joe, I don't know how many times I can say that. We know that people have faulty memories. We know that they do. That's been proven.
Like 30 years is a long time to give a fully accurate account.
And here's the thing. You might honestly believe that something happened, but then you might go back in time and look at yourself in that situation and be like, you know what? I did consent. Maybe I didn't say yes, do this, but you know, I didn't. And this is where we get into that whole case of when is consent consent and when is consent not consent. Because you got two competing theories, and right now the one that's dominating is if you don't get explicit consent, that's not consent. Whereas there is, you know, you got to go back in time, too, talking to a lot of people from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. As long as you did not say no, that was considered consent. So you also kind of got to put the perspective back to the times that it happened there. But look, I'm not trying to defend Bill Cosby in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Honestly, at this point, Buddy might be a scumbag. He might have deserved to go to jail for 30 years. But he didn't deserve to get caught like this, because that opens the door for other people to get caught off some fucked up situations and some bullshit evidence.
Yeah. Yes, and it all started from some comedian on stage.
Yeah, so, Hannibal Buress.
Right, how much he got paid?
I don't know, but what's interesting is he had been doing that joke for like 10 years.
Now all of a sudden.
Right, all of a sudden it blew up. You know, yeah. Bill Cosby's one of those people. There have been sex scandal jokes about him going back into the 80s and 90s. Like, it's not a new subject.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, chances are Bill Cosby did something. And that's why I can't really
defend it. We know Bill Cosby. Right, we know Bill Cosby did. And that's what I am in. And I'll tell anybody, Bill Cosby, my favorite comedian of all time. I say that. But I ain't no damn fool either. Bill Cosby did something to somebody that he wasn't supposed to do. That's one of the main reasons why we're here, because he fucked up somewhere, somehow. But we just don't know exactly what, where, when, how, all those things there. So I can't in good conscience just totally throw somebody up under the... It ain't... We don't have the R. Kelly evidence on Cosby like we got on R. Kelly.
And
I will
free.
Say this. I will say this, too. If you out there condemning Bill Cosby but supporting R. Kelly, you full of shit. I will say that.
Yeah, I agree with that. But the thing is, and I want to make this perfectly clear, I'm not defending Bill Cosby, you know, and I'm not calling the women liars. I'm not.
What I'm just saying was right is right, though.
Right. What I'm critical of is the process that they used to get Bill Cosby. That wasn't right. And unless you can literally lay it down and break it down for me in a way that I can understand, you're not fixing to get me to believe that what happened to Bill Cosby was just and fair. The ends do not justify the means.
Well, historically, that method has been used to convict black men for centuries. Just a white woman saying, this happened to me, and everybody believing her because she's a white woman.
Right. And that's... Now, if we want to start getting critical of the Me Too movement, that's where I think we can start, because black women, even now, are still being ignored. Still being ignored.
Right. The only cases where black women are not being ignored is if the black woman has, if she says she's been raped by a prominent black man. Then the Me Too movement and the women's rights movement and the feminist movement, when the black man is the culprit, white women are all on it. But let it be a white man or another type of man, they are extra silent. So.
But when was the last time that that's even happened?
Somebody them come caping for women against a black man?
Yeah, white women caping for a black woman, period.
I mean,
I'm not saying that hasn't happened. I'm just saying, when was the last time it happened?
The last I can remember is the Ray Rice case.
Okay. And before that, we got anything? Because I don't have no memories before that.
I can't think of nothing off the top of my head. But the latest I can think of is the Ray Rice case. Everybody was on it. Then, you know, the NFL dropped those no more commercials and all these other things here. People
I mean, even the Me Too movement has been whitewashed, because that was started by black women 10 years ago.
See, I didn't even know that. I thought the Me Too movement was started by white women.
No, the Me Too movement was started by a black lady over 10 years ago. A white lady found out about it and brought it back, or brought it to the mainstream. I won't even say brought it back, because it's been around. So the Me Too movement started as a black women's movement, a black woman talking about her experience being brutalized, and we've had shows talking about how black men are fucking up and we need to do better, especially in regards to our women. Yeah. And there was a black woman she started the Me Too movement as a campaign for that. And a white woman found out about it and brought it to the mainstream. And now is like, when you think about the Me Too movement, all you think about is white women.
Right. 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 So before we forget, we also want to mention what was going on with Russell Simmons as well, because a $5 million lawsuit Jennifer Jaworski, the $5 million lawsuit that she filed was dismissed, and there's no reason given to why the lawsuit was dismissed, because this was a young woman saying that Russell Simmons forced himself onto her, I think, after a concert. So it's a lot of things that were happening. Then there's another lawsuit by a woman who's been described as a Jane Doe, a $10 million lawsuit, saying he forced himself onto her after a concert in the hotel room in 1988. So.
Joe, powerful men are, you know, they're hyper aggressive. That is, they're that. They're
right.
All of the things that we like to say we want in a man, until a man actually does something that we don't want him to do with those same attributes that we love. So I don't know, but in the same vein, and I know it's gonna be a lot of people pissed off at me about this, but we've talked about this before. You know, it ain't like these powerful men were born that way. Like, they were groomed to be that way, and a lot of these behaviors were encouraged by women. And you literally don't hear from them when the powerful man is holding up his end of the bargain, a.k.a. they're progressing in their career, a.k.a. they're doing what they want to do. You hear about them when the powerful man doesn't hold up his end of the bargain. And I've even heard some people lately on podcasts and radio shows using that same paradigm almost as a, like, it's weird. You'll hear somebody say, he promised to do this for her and he did it. Almost as if to say, well, if he did do it, then everything would be okay. Like, the casting couch is not a secret. Everybody knows about the casting couch. They got whole porn genres specifically about the casting couch. Like, it's no secret.
Yeah.
That is possible for a woman to sleep her way to the top. Damn near,
yeah,
every office has at least one woman in there that you know is fucking her way to a pay raise. Like, it's not a secret. And then when these men who are generally treated in this manner by these groupies who have groomed these men to think that this is okay behavior, when they go too far with a woman that ain't a groupie, everybody wants to look at the men and be like, oh, he's fucking up. Well, what about all of those women that can condition him to be that way? And that's not to shift blame at all, because the man is just as fucked up. But going back to what you said earlier, we're not going to solve this problem if we're only focusing on one side of it.
Yeah. I mean, and see that too, because that's a two-way street. The man thinking that it's okay for him to just pull his meat out on somebody, and the woman thinking she has to sleep her way to the top. That's a two-way fucked up problem. That's that catch-22. And see, my question is, with this specific case, because why was the case thrown out? Because this chick was going hard for a little minute, because I know I've been listening to the Breakfast Club. We finally got the Breakfast Club in Tallahassee. So I listened to it on my way to work, and the rumor reports and stuff, and they've been talking about this case for a while now. And, you know, the young girl was going hard for a minute, and now all of a sudden it's dismissed. So what was happening? Like, what went wrong? What went sideways? Was it intimidation from Russell Simmons' side? Or was she lying? All this, and I hate not having information, because I can't go off on nobody if I don't have the information. And, you know, everybody who's been following us, been rocking with us, everybody who know me, y'all already know how I feel, the time I've put in helping to fight sexual and domestic violence across the board. So if Russell Simmons is actually a predator out here, he need to get his ass kicked. And he need to get him the fuck up off the streets. But if we got women out here lying on men, then that's an issue too. And they need their ass kicked, and they need to get the fuck up off the streets.
But
that's the thing, like, how do we get to the bottom of this stuff? And society, why do we live in a society to where all this ambiguity can just be out here? Nobody really knows what's going on. And if you got enough money, you protect it. Or if you got the right privilege, you protect it. I hate that.
Well, you know, but people have gotten to the point where, like, saying what you just said about if there are women lying, that is a component of the conversation we're not allowed to have, because this group And I got the report. I've read the report. This group put out this report that said that less than, what was it, less than 5% of...
Yeah, less than around 2% of...
Yeah, something around that. Less than 5% of rape cases are actually, of rape reports were actually found to be lies. And people haven't bothered to research that. They've just started spewing that number out, and they've spewed it out so successfully that now it's almost considered blasphemy to talk about a woman potentially lying, which to me, the only reason I looked into it was because that's counterproductive to what I know. Most of the dudes I know have been falsely accused of rape at least at one point in their lives. And I'm talking like most of the dudes I know, myself included. So
the thing is, within that, what within that two, who is represented within that 2% or that 3% of the false reports? Like, who was represented? Who are the people who are being false reported on?
Well, see, here's the deal, though, Joe. That false report number was women that were blatantly just outright stone cold lying. But there were separate levels in that report. Because because that also suggests that 97% of the cases were actual, or 98% of the cases were actual. They had evidence, they had this, they had that. These women were most certainly not lying. That's what that suggests. And that's not the case. That's not the case. When I looked at that report, and my memory could be off, I have to go look at it again, but I'm throwing that out there as a disclaimer, open-ended, you know, laying the cards on the table. I don't 100% remember the numbers, but I do know that somewhere around 40 to 60% of the cases they got, so roughly half of the cases they got, were not cases that they could prosecute, were not cases that had enough proof for them to prosecute somebody. So while you can say, okay, we know these women didn't outright lie, we also don't know what percentage of what they said was the truth either. That is a spectrum that's in this. Well, she did go over to the dude's house. She was in his bedroom. That part is the truth. Just those two facts alone eliminates it from being declared an outright lie.
Yeah.
Now, what happened when she was in the bedroom? You know what I'm saying? Like, so I encourage people, and again, my memory could be off. I'm sure somebody will call me on it, but I got the report. I'm going to look at it right after the show. I encourage people, go look at that report. That report does not say what we've been told that it says. That report actually suggests that around half of the reported, and we got to put that on there, the reported cases of rape and sexual assault are not prosecutable. So ask yourself what that means.
Well, I know. Well, I say this, speak to that a bit, because some of them, and I will say in fairness, some of them are not prosecutable because motherfuckers just not gonna prosecute that shit. Because, and then, you know, a large proportion of assaults and stuff, you know, when police rape people, nobody do nothing about it unless the officer is a black. You know, or unless it's just like a blatant thing where they can't hide nothing from nobody. But it's a there are some that it's not like it did happen. Like it really did happen, but it's not gonna be prosecuted because like you say, if the female reports it, it's not gonna be taken serious. So that in fairness, that does happen, but at the same time, to not diminish the point that's being made, false reporting happens, and false reporting does affect black men. It does. And if you try to tell us it don't, we have a whole – they made a whole movie about it called Rosewood.
Right.
A whole movie. Emmett Till, even what happened with Emmett Till, like that white lady should be in jail. Somebody should be whooping her ass right now for lying on Emmett Till.
And in like, addition to that, you got Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Whole cities have been literally destroyed behind white women lying.
Wilmington.
Yeah, whole cities.
But, Joe, so I also want to bring this point up, too, real quick. And I'm going to shut up because I'm holding back a sneeze. Never
mind. Achoo. Speaking of Chinese.
I felt. I also want to say this, though. A lot of dudes that I know, myself included, that had false reports or had been accused falsely of rape, they didn't go to the police. They went to, like in one case, when I worked for the state of Florida, she didn't go to the police. She went to his boss, and he got fired. Asked her a couple weeks later, did he really rape you, or did he really sexually assault you? No, I just wanted him gone. I didn't like him. This is not me making this up.
I bet.
And I've had a few friends like that. Even I, myself, and I ain't never raped nobody. I ain't never sexually assaulted nobody. But I've been called to. I got called to the office when I was working for the state to talk about somebody making an accusation about me sexually assaulting them in the workplace. I wasn't even at work that day, which is, I believe, the only reason why I got off.
Yeah, but see, and so what happened to the girl?
Nothing.
Right, so you know somebody's lying and you do nothing about it. But see, that's, I mean, once again, as a black man, it's hard for me to look at these cases the same because the historical and the continued just fucked upness that just come around when black men get caught up in these things with white women. So, but at the same time, I want to make sure that I'm doing my part as a man to curb violence.
Right.
A period across these sexual and domestic violence across the board.
Right.
Because, hell, I might have some daughters, and I swear for everything. Because I'm going to tell the boys straight up before you, hey, man, look, I will fuck you up. You mess with my daughter. I will fuck you up, I swear. But at the same time, you can't protect people every step of the way. You can't hold people's hand. You can't hold them back from life. So you got to try to, like I say this, I use this analogy. You know how you see those pictures of these daughters about to go to the prom, and then their daddies, they take a picture of the girl, and the daddy's in the background, daddy and the homeboy's in the background with guns and knives and all these things here. Mm. If those men would redirect that energy that they got and actually be a force in that young man's life, he most likely wouldn't rape your daughter if you was active in
right.
his life.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, and that's the thing, like, us being, making sure that we're active out here to make this change and not just talking about it, because this stuff is not going to stop. But at the same time, on the white supremacist angle, white people got to start calling out white people who out here lying on black people, too.
But what you just said was so key, and I don't want it to go unnoticed, because I definitely know that a lot of people are going to misunderstand what we're saying. And they're going to feel like we women shaming or defending men or whatever, and that's not the case. We're just coming at it from a different angle, and we're looking at the total package, and we have plenty of shows where we bash black men's heads in when they need to be bashed in. And largely, when it comes to sexual assault and domestic violence and all that other stuff,
we go in.
Men do need their heads bashed in because men are fucking up, like in general. But what you just said, instead of men trying to be hyper-aggressive and addressing the issue after the fact, why don't you address the issue before it happens? Why don't you, if you got a daughter, she 14, 15 years old with a boyfriend, that boy, you need to know that boy. That boy need to look at you like you're his daddy, regardless of whether your daughter and him survive or not. You should have your own independent relationship with him, even if it's only for the protection of your daughter. But really, it's for the protection of every future woman that young man is going to meet. Because now he has a male role model looking up that he can look up to. That's going to tell, you know, that's going to curb those instincts and treat him how to teach him how to respect women. Even if you don't have a daughter, you know, and if you got an older daughter and she's married, you need to have a relationship with her husband, one that you partake in and you participate in. That's how you protect your daughter. not by beating his ass right. after he beat her ass.
Right.
No.
You got to be proactive,
late.
Not reactive.
Right. And it's the same with if you got a son. Don't wait until your son start punching people in the mouth to decide that you want to talk to him about what it means to be a man and how to treat women. That should be a conversation that happened when he turned old enough to notice that there's a difference between boys and girls.
Right.
That's all. I just right. wanted. I didn't want that to go by because what you just said was so, like, it was so on point.
Right, there it is. But real quick, man, before we start to wrap, before we wrap this up, the last thing we want to talk about is we got a lot of black people who are now paying attention to the amount of times police are being called on black people at white establishments. It's not something new. We're just not starting to pay attention to it. But we still keep going back to these white establishments. And in some areas, a lot of black people have no choice because they ain't no black-owned businesses. But in a lot of areas, like the like what happened in Philadelphia and the Starbucks and things, you know, I hate that that happened, and I'm not going to try to blame those guys in any kind of way. Now, I was listening to this podcast, this African and American podcast, and the young lady in the podcast was saying that the men were interviewed on TV, and the men were saying that basically it's not a big deal, and everything's all good, and they trust the police and the process and all these things here. Like, one thing the lady, the young girl was, I didn't agree with. She was like, she was mad that the men didn't go down without a fight. They just let them arrest them without a fight. I was like, well, damn, you just want brothers to be shot?
Yeah, that's silliness.
Yeah, I mean, that's young stuff. But I didn't know that and I still have to verify, but from what she was saying, the men basically were saying, it ain't no big deal, whatever, whatever, whatever. If that's true, that's some weak-ass shit, because what happened to them shouldn't have happened. But at the same time, how do we put ourselves in positions to where we're not in environments where the cops are going to get called on us by white people? And the only thing I could think of is we got to continue building our own, stop boycotting and building. But we've been saying this, but it just keep happening over and over, and we just keep being reminded everybody. Now everybody like, fuck Waffle House and all these things. They're like, Waffle House ain't been doing the same thing it's doing now. And that the greasy-ass, nasty-ass food anyway. You shouldn't be eating that shit anyway. But we've made the Waffle House after the club staple. And guess what? Black folks still going to the Waffle House after everything that's happening. Black folks still going to go to Starbucks and all these things. So what's really the point of all of the theatrics around these events that happen if we're still going to fall back into the same patterns? Those be my questions for our people.
It ain't no point. And that's why I don't participate in the theatrics. We know that people ain't going to change, and we know the only people clamoring for a boycott of Starbucks are the people that don't eat at Starbucks or don't drink Starbucks coffee or whatever. And we know that those young men are going to get on national TV, and they're going to say it's all good because, you know, if they weren't going to say that, they probably wouldn't get on national TV.
Right.
You know, how often did you see Mike Brown's father get an interview? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
We know these things, and we know that, you know, Joe, we talked about the two-week attention span all the time. We know that we're going to lose interest and move on soon. We know that, and we know that ain't no real change going to happen. And that's why, you know, those of us that are interested in trying to build something, we got to find each other, we got to link up, and we got to build, and we got to stop worrying about all that other stuff, because right now we don't have the ability to affect those people. We don't have the ability to speak to them in any meaningful manner. We don't have the ability to reach them and get them to change, and we don't have any alternatives. Like, where else are we going to send people and they leave Starbucks? That every other major chain coffee shop in America is white owned. So,
but see, that's the thing though. Like, we always clamor for a boycott without building. We want this systematic change. And I was just thinking about this earlier. Like, we want this systematic change. What's the like? It's a black mayor right now in Tallahassee. The last two mayors in Tallahassee have been black. We have a lot of black city commissions, I mean county commissioners and city councilors, and a lot of black people in positions. But None of these black people have the power to stop gentrification. So what's the point of having these black people in these positions if we not organized and have no semblance of nothing put in place, so when these people get in power, things can actually get taken care of? Like, in my opinion, every black politician in this city, it has failed us, because there is no way this amount of stuff should be happening. Like I think we may have a black coffee shop in Thailand. We may, but for the most part, as far as, like, we got a Piggly Wiggly, that's one black grocery store on the south side, and most black people think they're too good to shop there. And on the other end, I understand why some people won't shop there, because, hell, after shopping at Publix, you ain't going to shop at Piggly Wiggly because the quality of the food. So, I mean, and for y'all who don't know what Publix is, it's like one of the greatest grocery stores ever, but it's a Florida-based grocery store, and they have a premium on produce and things like that. So the shopping experience is better because more money is put into it than the Piggly Wiggly, which is the black grocery store. But still, at the same time, we keep talking about boycott with no alternatives. We're going to say this again, like we said before. The reason why the Montgomery boycott worked, because a competent alternative was in place.
Yeah, and that's a subject, because we could talk about whether or not for the long term it benefited the community, but, you know, that's neither here nor there for this discussion. But I do think what you said, I agree with. I mean, we got a lot of problems, man. We got a lot of issues. We got a lot of things we need to work on. This whole situation with black people begging white people for acceptance, begging white people to love them, begging white people to, and that's essentially what you're doing, you know, and I don't care for this particular discussion, I don't care how it makes anybody feel, you know. In Charlotte, we got the same situation as you just described in Tallahassee. The majority of the government, the majority of the city government is black. Black mayor, black police chief. I think we got a black city manager, like three or four, maybe over the majority of the city commission is non-white. Like, black people literally run this city, and gentrification is still happening. Black people are still overwhelmingly living in poverty, and we see the same thing in Atlanta. We see the same thing in every major black demographic in the nation. So I don't. Bro, that's a whole nother subject as well, man. But we just got to do better, man.
Yeah, I mean, we don't get it, man. That's really what it comes down to, man. We don't really get it, man. And we have to get out of these cycles. Like, Luther Lee put a post up. I don't know, you know, you ain't on Facebook, so I don't know if you saw it, but Luther Lee put a post up about a conversation you and I had with him maybe 3-4 years ago, talking about this cycle, this two-week cycle that we get mad for 2 weeks and we go back to regular things. You get mad for 2 weeks and go back to regular things. Like y'all not tired of this emotional roller coaster you keep putting yourselves on? Like I'm saying again, black America is in an unhealthy, abusive relationship with white America. We get our ass whooped, we get mad, and we go back home. So we got to stop, man. Got to stop. Like white America, it's not their job to like us. They don't have to like us. Stop trying to see other people's side of the story. And I just want to say this. I know this off topic is hell, and I'm from the straight, but fuck Kanye West and the rest of these other celebrities and their ideas and what they think about and their political views. Don't nobody give a damn about Kanye and how he feel politically and all these things. He don't know. He ain't that damn smart, man. Stop confusing musical genius with just somebody who's a damn straight-up intellect. If the fool can't see that aligning himself with Donald Trump is detrimental to his community, then he ain't that damn smart. And damn him talking about, I'm trying to get people to think from a different angle. Man, you don't have to align yourself with no goddamn white supremacist to get people to think from a different angle. And what makes you think people ain't thinking from a different angle? You married a Kardashian. That lets us know you ain't that damn smart.
Yeah. That also let us know you ain't that damn dude that you were when you first came out. Either that, or you were that dude, and you was just hiding it real well. I don't know. I don't know. I've never been that dude. You know, people like to try to make artists and celebrities seem like they're so deep and they're so intellectual because they paint good pictures or because they make good music or whatever the case might be. I've never really been that dude, so I never really understood it. But Kanye West is showing everybody how he feels about life.
Yeah.
You can choose to keep smoking on that same Yeezy Power bullshit that y'all been smoking on for the last 10 years, talking about this is the deepest dude since goddamn
Man, he ain't that smart, man. Kanye West ain't that goddamn smart, man. They need to stop that, man.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, you've seen it. Motherfuckers talking about how deep he was, and then he got one of the funniest comments I have seen through all this was after it came out that Chance the Rapper was supporting him. I saw a comment where somebody said, "Good, now we can stop pretending to like Chance's music." And I thought that was I thought that was funny because I always felt like listening to his music, I was always like, I don't know why people like this. But if everybody was pretending just to support a new independent come up, I know I'm taking the joke too far, but I thought it was funny as shit.
I mean, because I'm looking at a picture of him now with it. As a matter of fact, I was listening to a song as I was going to this event today. I was coming from the event, and it was a song with T.I. and Kanye. And I guess T.I. should be, was like on our side having a conversation with Kanye through the song, basically telling Kanye he's fucking up. And Kanye's sitting there really trying to explain why he's with the Make America Great Again mindset. Kanye, America was never great in the first place. It was great for who? Nobody.
It was great for us. It was great for them.
It was great for white people who was committing genocide.
Right.
So it's like the idea, like you don't even know what the fuck you talking about. It's like, bro, I'm questioning whether you even ever picked up a book to study anything about this.
Nope. Kanye has been somebody that's begged for acceptance though, and then a lot of his supporters are like, well, he's just trying to tell black people we don't have to be Democrat. Okay, you can say that without endorsing the Republican Party, because we don't have to be Republicans either.
We've been telling black people for the longest that both parties have been failing us. Yes, black people don't have to be Democrats. We don't have to be Republicans, but I don't have to support white supremacy to tell white black people that they don't need to be Democrats. I'm an independent, and I will stand loud and proud and say, black people, you do not have to be Democrats or Republicans.
And if you ask me, you shouldn't be either one of them. You should be independent. You should allow yourself the freedom to be able to stand on whatever side of the issue that you agree with without having other people in your group attacking you for it. And that's the wonderful thing about being independent. If the Republicans come out with some shit and I like it, I can say I like it. If the Democrats come out with some shit and I like it, I can say I like
it. It's almost like if you black, you have to be a Democrat. And it's like, once again, staying in the same cycle, Democrat ain't been helping us, but here we go.
No, it ain't. And that's why I say we shouldn't be either, because the Republicans, the black Republicans, their entire premise for being Republican is that the Democrats ain't helping us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you chose to go to the other side that ain't helping us either? Where they freed the slaves and they, look, that is, if you want to base it off
that's
that,
bullshit.
Then you
that's
should be
bullshit.
A Democrat, because all of the Republicans that did all of those things became Democrats. So if that was the case, then you should be a Democrat too. But, you know, like you said, it's all some bullshit. Neither one of the parties have done anything for us in the last 50, 60, 60, 70 years. Why are we supporting either of them? Why are we even having this debate about Democrat versus Republican? That's like having a debate between, you know, whether you want to get shot with a 50 cal in the face or whether you want to get shot with a goddamn 40 in the face. You're still getting shot in the fucking face. What does it matter?
Right. Neither one of these parties give a fuck about black people, and we keep thinking that we have to align ourselves with the party to get things done. No, man, you just need to work as a unit. dumbasses. Stop being stupid, people. Come on. But hey, man, we've been at this for a while, man, and we didn't pass the our third mark, so we're gonna kind of wrap this up.
Yeah, it's time to go.
But what we do want to drop on y'all heads though is, throughout the month of May, the Freedom Train Network, especially the Freedom Train Podcast series, we will be celebrating Black women throughout the month of May. So from May 1st to May 31st, we will be celebrating a different Black woman each day. So make sure you visit our website on a daily basis, because you're going to get a new post about a Black woman who we're celebrating and we're shining, and we want you all to support these Black women. We'll have three interviews, so three Black women will be interviewed, and we'll have a discussion, social discussion show on the Mother's Day week about our admiration and everything, how we feel about Black women. So y'all make sure y'all tune in and everything that we got going on. Remember, the website is www.freedomtrainradio.com, and you can also stay tuned on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher and everything that we got. And as I have a commercial out there floating around with our Black Women's Celebration that's on YouTube, so go to Freedom Train Network YouTube channel. Also go to Freedom Train Network Facebook page so you can see that, and it's on Instagram and all those things there. So check us out. Pat.
Yo.
What deep words you want to take us out with?
Power to the people.
Power to the people. And guess what? We'll see y'all later.